texted me, who's this?
Friends, we have Council President Bullock, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Bell, Councilman Street, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Cartier, Councilwoman Diller, and Valerie is taking minutes, and I'm Joe Retta. What's the pleasure on the minutes?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, first one, we have ordinance 14-134. It's Councilman Street, and it's revised previously approved Mickledale Starbucks. What are they changing it? What is it going to be, Wawa?
I'll let the applicant tell you all that.
And rezoning.
And I'll give deference to them, whoever comes forward.
At Hessel Boulevard. Councilman Street.
Give deference to the applicant.
Thank you.
When you start talking about what it's going to be, remember Lowe's.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of council. Larry Tarabicos on behalf of the applicant here. This property, which is on the PowerPoint up here, we've got this at the corner. You're probably all familiar with it, in South Market Street, DuPont Highway. There was a the background is the property owned by Hessler Properties. Mr. Hessler, years and years ago, was a very prominent real estate developer and investor. His wife, Sassy Geisel, who took over his business. This is a property that David Cantara and Robert Wittig joint ventured with them, and was able to convince many years ago Lowe's to come into the area. It's an area of some less affluent people, and it's a difficult area. There are some other uses that have come into the area. I actually worked with Wawa many years ago, and we got Wawa located at the intersection there as well. So there's been an effort to try to make some investment in the area. As it turns out, the Lowe's has been very successful there and employs a lot of people from the area. They've done very well. I actually go to that Lowe's by choice very often. And in 2007, the corner that's in square red was rezoned. So the property's actually zoned CR already. And this is sort of a revival of that rezoning, because as you know, under the UDC, if you don't implement that rezoning, you have to come back. And it was originally going to be a Starbucks. That was the thought. They showed an interest, and then they backed out because they didn't feel that the area justified the Starbucks, so Starbucks walked away. I don't expect, as Mr. Street did not necessarily jump up and down for joy or get excited about a Dollar Tree. I think a lot of people don't get excited for a Dollar Tree, but again, they have a needs-based clientele. People go there for their daily needs. One thing a lot of people may not know, but Dollar Tree sells a lot of food products, and many of the blue-collar workers, less affluent people that work in this area and live in this area and actually work at the Lowe's, find that their needs are served by stores like Dollar Tree. So this site gives them tremendous visibility, gives them excellent access, and good synergy with the Lowe's store that's there. And of course, the area is fairly commercialized. You have a Dunkin' Donuts, you have some restaurants, you have car dealerships, you have the Wawa, the Lowe's, and of course, you have the DMV. So you have positive recommendations on the rezoning here, and that's what we're bringing before you in this area. And while it may not be in Nordstrom's, it's another investment in the area, which I think is a positive. So that's all I have. Happy to answer any questions.
Councilman Smiley.
And my question is probably more to land use, just for clarification before we go further. Does the fact that the business name use of this site, which is ingratiated in the title, does that change this legislation to where the title would need to be rewritten and reintroduced? Or is this known as the Starbucks plan, regardless of who develops the parcel?
I think I can try to answer that, but...
I'm going to defer to legal counsel.
Yeah. Well, the plan that was recorded as part of the rezoning was the Starbucks plan. So it was a, that's what that plan is titled. If you look at the recorded plan, it says Plan of Starbucks. And as you know, the rezoning with the UDC must accompany the record plan. So that rezoning took effect when their plan was recorded. Right. Now we're changing the plan. So right now it's called the Starbucks plan. It'll change. It'll change to whatever will be now, the Lowe's, the Dollar Tree plan.
I mean, I'm not trying to throw a roadblock, but I just don't want us to go through the process and then someone raise an issue that the title was wrong.
Counsel, and I
have to start over.
Counsel, to make sure that you've got the right answer. I'm not saying that you don't have the right answer, but I just want to clarify and make sure.
Okay. But they may carry Starbucks K-Cups, right?
Hopefully.
Dollar Tree.
I am the councilman. But I'm just a councilman. Have you had, do you plan to have any meetings with the residents, civic associations, and organizations?
We have not on this project. We had previously, as part of the Lowe's and the original zoning, reached out to the community. I've spoken to some of the people that I know in Minkwoodale, and that was all positive, but that was just personal contact that I made with some folks down there. But we have happy to do that if you would like us to.
I would very much like for you to.
Okay.
And second, I understand, but you said it twice, so I had to correct you. I don't have a good feeling about the use of the term less influence, less affluent, because those are the influential people that put my little behind in office. And prior to running for office, when I served as the former director of the Parent Educational Resource Center, and the chairman of the Coalition Save Our Children, and my responsibility as relates to preparing for and implementing school desegregation, they've been influential in my life and my career for the past 41 years. So I don't like the term, and I don't think it's
No, I didn't say less influential, less affluent.
Less affluent, less influential, same church, different pew. It's the same insult to me. Okay? You've never come in here, nobody else has come in here talking about less influent, less affluent, however you want to term it. I don't like it. Because I don't know how we make this distinction between who's influential, who's not influential. And I'm telling you that they've been influential for the past 65 years since Dunleavy was built. They've been influential in this community, in this town, in this state, and indeed in this nation.
Councilman Cartier.
Yeah, could I see the site plan?
Sure.
Just to orient me, is someone have a laser pointer, where is 13 located?
Right in the front here.
Okay. So the building is going to address the corner and have the parking more or less.
Correct. Behind. And then the connects and a shared parking with Lowe's.
And then
the access is here.
The primary elevation is that elevation. Where is that oriented on the site plan?
That is here.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Moving vehicles in the back.
Anything else from council? Councilman Sheldon.
Larry, I don't know if you could explain it or the engineer. It looks like all the water is, I guess I don't see a stormwater pond, but it should be shifted that way if you go from left corner to right corner. In the back. Am I reading that right?
I'm going to let Mike Kaziski from Duffield Associates
like
respond.
29 or 30 is where the building is, and 19.
Yeah, the parcel that you see here in the front was subdivided as an out parcel when Lowe's was developed. As part of the original Lowe's design, the overall stormwater management for the property excluded impervious coverage on this particular property, on this particular outpost. The driveway connection that you have into Lowe's parking lot, you kind of see a small white square. Right about where the dark gray blends into the light gray on here. That is the existing storm inlet where the site
range. Where that circle is?
Just north of the, you see the tree here on the driveway connection coming into the driveway.
Right.
And then there's a small, very small square right in the line from the dark gray to the light. Basically, in the middle of that driveway, there's existing storm drain facility back.
Okay.
The site drainage from the Dollar Tree here will connect to that storm drain and pipe down to the existing stormwater basin at the bottom and the top side.
Okay, because I know there was flooding years ago in that area. Very aggressive water problems. So, yeah, I see 1968 and 68. So that must be where that, right next to it, so it has to be. All right.
Councilman Street.
Well, counsel for the applicant said that I wasn't jumping up and down over Dollar Tree. And I'm wondering now out loud if the department considered in making its determinations on this, the fact that you come south a little bit, you got a $50 million public safety building, you go back north a little bit, not last month, not last week, last night, somebody was murdered in front of a gentleman's club. And if you go over from 13 to Route 9, we're putting in $20 million innovation center, and their substantive plans for the revitalization of the area. In the department's view, does this plan comport with the revitalization of the area?
This last time you guys said we weren't going to get to say much. We think the plan complies with all the requirements and all the regulations that we have currently in the UDC. We oftentimes don't get to pick who the tenant is or who wants to occupy. We've done, in the processing of this plan, you can see the extensive shrubberies that are going on to try to bring those areas around. To Councilman Cartier's, I think, question was, so the front of it, the elevations orientate in a little bit, side and back, different way, but they're all covered. And then we have a fairly significant wall that's kind of in the brown area that you're going to see that is used as kind of an accent piece or accent point to it. So from an architectural piece, we're trying to put as much nice elevations and nice aesthetics to it as we could, and I think that the site would allow.
So the answer to my question is, in your view, it's legal, but the reality is you really didn't consider the big picture in terms of the proposed revitalization of the area.
Well, to follow up on something that the council, the applicant said, this parcel was actually established years ago when the Lowe's was established. Where Lowe's is used to be the drive-in, and that whole area got revitalized and redeveloped through the Lowe's application. This was an out parcel that was going to be for some pad site of some sort or something, whether it be Starbucks, whether it be, you know, a small restaurant facility or something of that nature. Across the street from it, you have Wawa, which used to be on the grounds of the Beulah Hotel. So it's new construction, new activity, and it, again, we're not at the place yet where we can pick and choose who everybody who gets to come.
Okay. So, and then so that being the case, if as opposed to a Dollar Tree, they want to put a gentleman's club or Gold Club, like where the man got murdered at last night, that would comport with the law?
I don't think so. our council, Mary Jacobson's here, is involved with the Gentlemen's Club, but I think there's some additional restrictive pieces that go along with the, those types of facilities and where they can actually be located. I vaguely remember conversations, discussions about the clubs down as you're entering the city of Wilmington, where there was a discussion about the zoning of it, what could be done, what couldn't be done with that. More importantly, I don't know that they would necessarily have enough room there to be able to work and function as well.
Okay, my...
But currently, Gentlemen's Club couldn't be there if this plan's processed.
Okay. As you've been in your position for a significant amount of time, how many plans for change have come to you without the applicant having a meeting with civic associations and the community surrounding the area?
Well, I would say there was a mixed bag of that. Sometimes that happens and sometimes it doesn't happen. It depends on whether we're really trying to create a new parcel, whether we're trying to create a rezoning. I mean, there's different activities that occur with that. This is a parcel that was zoned. This is a matter of just siting a particular facility on a parcel that was already zoned, already planned and approved. But to answer your question specifically, it's always better to have conversation with the local community. We're encouraging that. You'll see as the UDC amendments, you know, advance over the course of the next year, you'll see us being more direct in trying to require that to occur.
Is that only, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's all.
Is that only applicable to the influential?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
We have Councilman Powers joined us. Any other questions from council? Anything from the public? Ms. Goldman?
Carol Dillon, Councilman Council. I think that there was a question about the title from Councilmember Smiley. And to answer the question, some feedback was provided to the clerk and to the sponsor day today, and also what was introduced. But the Dollar Tree is in the title. There is a problem with the title, and the clerk is going to rectify it, because it states that it is revising of the zoning, which it's not. I don't know if that was part of the question. But the state law provides that you can take, you cannot add anything to a title, but you can delete something, so you can add the revising of the zoning. So,
Mr. Chairman.
Yep, just say for the record, I'm perfectly content holding off and not having council consider this next week. I did reach out to Councilman Street a few weeks ago and sent him the plans as he requested, and more than happy to meet. As Mr. Haggerty said, it's already zoned, and we were just changing the building there. We did meet with the community when this property was originally rezoned, but more than happy to reach out, and if Councilman Street tells me who to contact in the community, happy to do so. I certainly am, and I think everybody who knows me knows that I don't make my friends or my judgments on influence or influential people in my life, and I think Council President knows that very well, and others. The word I used was affluent, not influential. I think every single American citizen has the same influence in the process as any other. So if there was any misconstruction of that, then I apologize, but the words actually come from Dollar Tree. When you ask them how do they decide to select this site, they do support needs-based people who are less affluent in the community. That was their comment. I was repeating it. Has nothing to do with influence, but I'm happy to meet with anybody, and I do meet with anybody, any community from Claymont down to Middletown. We meet with everyone, and happy to do that. And as soon as Councilman Street tells me to meet, we'll put this on hold, and we'll not, you know, ask that it be brought to council's agenda until we've met with Councilman Street's constituents and done that. I'm happy to do that.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you. Street? Okay, I'm sorry.
Potatoes, potatoes, tomatoes, tomatoes. I've been sitting here 11 years, and I've never heard a presentation where somebody was less anything.
Ms. James.
Thank you, Chairman. I think it'd be appropriate for the department to prepare a substitute the work of deficiencies in the ordinance prior to the
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to tell you that the applicant will meet with the department.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay. Let's move on. We have ordinance number 15-021. Mr. Bell's revised the zoning map, Red Line 100, south side of Wranglehole Road, which is Route 72, east side of Red Line Road, ST 71, that's almost 11 acres, from NC 21, neighborhood conservation, to CN, commercial neighborhood, and to amend 2012 comprehensive plan consistent therewith. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to make some initial comments, and then after the formal presentation, I'd love to kind of give a summarization of the plan itself and our involvement from the council district. But what I want to make everyone aware is that the applicant, developer, the legal counsel for the applicant and developer has reached out to us in the very beginning. Our office has been involved from day one with this particular initiative. Also, Senator Poor and Representative Val Longhurst, representing the area, has been involved. And, we've had numerous meetings on this particular plan, and I don't want to steal any of the thunder for the presentation, but I can tell you that from the very beginning, what was being presented, that I worked very closely with Eileen Fogarty prior to her leaving, and this particular plan, she was very excited about from the standpoint that we have never had the cooperation of what will end up being what I think is a very good plan from the developer and the business to change the architecture of the building to not only meet the characteristics of the neighboring community, but also set a standard for the future along that Route 72, Route 71 corridor. So just want to bring that up. We talked for hours upon hours. And like I say, prior to her leaving, she was very excited about this particular plan and how it's going to be proposed to you. So I'll save some comments for afterwards. We have representatives, like I say, from the applicant, the developer, the attorney, the legal counsel, so I at this time, I guess we would call on Sean Tucker, who's representing.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Council. For the record, my name is Sean Tucker, and I represent the applicant here, Diamond State Management. If I could just briefly introduce the folks that are here with me today. My assistant, Linda Sickle, Mr. Rutloff, who's been a leader in our working group, who Councilman Bell had referred to earlier in terms of the folks we've been meeting with, Jeff Bross from Duffield, and Fred Wittick, who's a representative directly of Diamond State Management. Thank you all for coming, particularly the one of the parcel owners is here. I'm happy they joined us, Mr. Vaughn and Pastor Beeman. Thank you for coming to the Land Use Committee meeting as well. I think, Jim, do you have the remote up there, Mr. Boyle? Thank you, Mr. Boyle. The picture that we have in front of the screen right now is actually an artist's rendering of the architectural features proposed by my client for the site. I'd note in particular that this is the first Wawa of its type in Delaware, not just New Castle County, but in Delaware. Notice the brick, the stone, the sign red line 100. That is being proposed by my client. We're working with our neighbors. Perhaps they'll want another identification other than red line 100. We thought that would be a good start in terms of an icon or sense of place for this area in Bear, Delaware. And just to drill down to our location, some more specificity, Bear, we're at the intersection of 71 and 72, just off of Route 1. And here is an aerial. There are three parcels that make up this application. This is the actual intersection. And I grab my laser here. I can just give you some bearings quickly. Here's the Route 1 I was referring to, 72, also known as Wrangell Hill. And then this is, of course, 71, for those familiar with the area. 10 acres, three parcels here on the corner. Currently, this is a vacant site. Councilman Bell mentioned our outreach. We first reached out to about five or six communities in the area. Three in particular were interested in meeting with us. Rolling Meadows, and Mr. Rutloff is a neighbor in Rolling Meadows. Had two meetings with that community. Caravel Hunt, two meetings with them as well. And Gesture Crossing actually had three meetings with those folks. And from those meetings over the past year, we formed a working group. And we asked each community if they would, you know, send two to three representatives to be part of our working group to talk about the architecture, to talk about the landscaping, to talk about the type of uses and restrictions that we would be willing to put on the property to address any community concerns. And so, in fact, a working group, I'm happy to report, was formed. These are the four neighborhoods. We actually had another neighborhood join us who did not ask for an initial meeting with us, with their neighbors, but wanted to join the working group. So we were happy to have them early in the process. So Village Red Line joined our working group. That group, in addition to the seven meetings between the three neighborhoods I just mentioned, had five additional meetings as a working group, the most recent being November 9th of this year. And here are the members from the various communities surrounding us. So, you know, we knew that this particular corner, and you've probably noticed from reading the recommendation, has a history. A lot of folks have been in front of the county at various stages during various periods of time, dating back to 1988, who had some interest in developing this corner. We wanted to pay particular attention because of that history to this site, to the architecture, and address the concerns that we had read about in prior reports that had come up and make sure that we addressed them fully, and we think we've done that. And so let me drill down, if I may, into those standards. As you know, the UDC has various provisions that must be considered and weighed by the Planning Board and Council when considering whether a rezoning is or is not appropriate for a given area. This property is currently zoned residential, as was mentioned. This proposed rezoning is to CN, or commercial neighborhood. Consistency with the comp plan, consistency with the character of the neighborhood, consistency with zoning and use of nearby properties, suitability of the property for the use proposed, effect on nearby properties, and the recommendation by the department. Let me go a little bit in reverse order and note that, and I'm happy to report, that both the planning Department of Land Use and Planning Board did recommend in favor of this application. They prepared an 8-page recommendation and explained the history going back to 1988 and what has changed over that history since the original rezoning application and the growth of the area, justifying in their minds a recommendation of positive for you folks to consider today. Add a little background information. This is a picture of a map out of our comprehensive plan. And as you can see, there is, in fact, a mix of uses in the area and a mix of zoning categories. There is industrial in this area, quite a bit of industrial that's unbuilt in this upper right-hand corner, which is southwest of the site. There's also office in the area, smaller commercial. There's a gas station catty corner to us. and of course residential, which is the predominant use in the area. More recent development in the area has included a school, the new DMV that opened up just recently, and some ball fields. This is a level two investment area. This is an area like level one where the state and the county have agreed through their various planning professionals where we should be supporting infrastructure for growth, unlike, for example, the SR, Suburban Reserve. And this next slide, I'd like to use to really drill down into those factors that I'd mentioned out of our code and talk about how we believe our application is consistent with legal requirements in the UDC, and these are also the requirements that the Department of Land Use and the Planning Board focused on as well following our public hearing this summer. Factor one, of course, is consistency with the comp plan. I'd mentioned this is a level two growth area. Those levels are identified in our comp plan, and growth is consistent with a level two designation. This is an infill site. This is an area that is developed and developing. An infill is generally encouraged in the comp plan as long as it is done responsibly and in recognition of the development pattern in the area regarding architecture and other features. You notice the architecture in the first slide. I'll go back to that briefly. Significant sensitivity here to the neighborhoods in the area. There are a lot of brick homes in this area, but as Councilman Bell said, besides mirroring the brick that we have in some of the communities around us, we also added stone, and that was something folks liked and wanted. And so we actually went in a slightly different direction in some ways, but that was something the community and our neighbors liked and wanted. Also notice the peaked roof above the pump stations. That's something Wawa doesn't do. They do now, and we told them they needed to do that. That was something that the community wanted. They did not want the flying, you know, wedge, if you will. They really wanted something different on the site, and Wawa, through my client's communications with them, ultimately did agree to that that change in architecture to address neighborhood concerns about appearance. The CN zoning category that we requested from you is a zoning category in the code that is more designed for residential areas. In fact, the UDC specifically mentions it's for areas suburban in character and has a high open space requirement. We actually exceed that. This is over 60% open space, but it is a zoning category. Unlike the CR, the CN is really designed to be nestled in close to communities and provide small modules of commercial shopping opportunity close to where you live. So you're not driving miles to get that loaf of bread or miles to get that gallon of milk. You have a location around the corner to bank and shop, and actually can shorten trips in a lot of ways, and hence convenience store. So there is a zoning district in our code, as you know, that is earmarked for these areas that are not commercial regional like the mall, more commercial neighborhood with more open space and less square footage. That is the benchmark of a CN district, and we believe this application fits squarely within those confines. The department also and the planning board mentioned that the residential density in this area has been increasing over the past decade. And that was one of the changes that they noted in particular, and that the increase in residential density and scheduled DLDOT improvements for this intersection, you combine those two things, that also brings a level of consistency with the view shed of the comp plan. And in fact, there is a multi-million dollar DLDOT project that we're joined at the hip to as part of this project. The road project is mostly along 72. It partly runs along 71, but in communications with our neighbors down here in particular, these are folks from Jester Crossing that live here to our east. You see this one access point on 71. We are aligned with them per the recommendation of DLDOT in their analysis and ours. But these folks are having issues today getting in and out of their community. The DLDOT improvements do not go that far south. So in listening to them very carefully over the past year and considering their concerns very carefully, my client has agreed as part of private deed restrictions to improve this area of 71, which exceeds DLDOT's subdivision manual. We'll be adding turning lanes. I have Mr. Bross here that can drill down into that if there's any specific questions. but stacking lanes for guarded lefts in, and additional Excel lanes to address some very specific neighborhood concerns. Not regulated by DLDOT, not severe enough to be regulated by DLDOT, but important to those particular neighbors. And so my client is going to make an investment of well over $100,000 in those additional road improvements to address those concerns. Regarding impact on neighboring properties, consistency with the uses, the landscaping, as you probably have noticed, is fairly significant, particularly given what is located in the area today. It stands out, certainly more robust than we have Catty Corner to us, which is a project that was developed under the older code, but it really is a significant contrast between old code and new code. There's some additional landscaping at our last meeting last week, where we're going to be adding additional street trees along this swath here as well. That is, does not appear yet on this picture, but you will see next Tuesday night. The buffering obviously is substantial, with over 60% open space, and this open space will be forever open space. Not only is that part of our application before this legislative body today, but we are privately agreeing to restrict this land so that it is preserved privately as well forever. So there's overlapping protections for folks who live in this area. So if for some reason in 20 or 30 or 40 years, a future county council decided that maybe a change would be warranted, the neighbors do have veto power, because they wanted that. They wanted to be able to say no to a change in the future if a future owner wanted to change this. And that was important to them. Not that they don't trust folks, but they'd like to have a say in this. They want to have skin in the game. And so we're willing and are regularly willing to let private communities partake in deed restrictions, where we will restrict the property to give them individual say. So we've done that here, so they have that additional assurance. And again, I just want to briefly show you the architecture, which we're very proud of. And Councilman Bell, as right, Ms. Fogarty was also a fan of this architecture. And in fact, she actually used this picture, I think, in one of her presentations, and took out the Red Line 100 reference, because I think she really liked this particular design. Here's a view shed of the bank / retail that would be proposed next door as part of this 10-acre proposal. And then here's a shot showing both in concert with one another. One housekeeping matter, the advertisement for today, the parenthetical in particular, mentioned 3,800 square feet for that building, the second building. It's actually 4,800. There was an updated plan, and I think there was just a technical some technical confusion there on how that got put on the agenda. Nobody's fault, but I just wanted to correct that for the record. And it would be it's proposed to be a bank with some retail, not just a bank. So with that minor housekeeping correction for the record, I'd be happy to answer any questions folks may have or address any concerns as best I can. Thank you.
Councilman Bell?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. As legal counsel has mentioned, you know, we've had a lot of involvement from the community, which, you know, greater emphasis ought to be placed on that in every plan that we do. But I think, you know, compliments should go to our land use department, working very closely. I think what Eileen Fogarty did was she set the standard high, and she sent like a benchmark to say that we don't have to keep building everything the way everything else looks. And I think that her involvement with this, land use's involvement with this, was that let's set the benchmark high. If you look at this particular rendition, and I've said it, I think it fits more of a historic town, Williamsburg areas, with a lot of brick veneer and everything. And so I want to compliment our land use department, and in particular our former general manager, for her involvement and the community's involvement. The meetings that we attended, or I had representation at, we had a significant representation from the neighboring communities that attended. And I want to tell you, they had questions, they were offered input, There were changes made based upon their input, their questions, their concerns, and as late as the other evening, one representative from the neighboring community had a list of about a dozen things that they had come up with for deed restrictions. The developer, legal counsel, DelDOT was there, our land use department was there. Every one of those questions and concerns was brought forward and answered, and there were commitments made to the neighboring communities that night that the vast majority of them deed restrictions will be included in this particular plan. So I think that speaks well. You can have meetings, but this was more than a meeting. This was several community involvement type groups that were involved in everything. So we have a few of representatives from the community that are here today, and I'm sure there'll be some, if not more, at the meeting next week. But I applaud their efforts and for getting involved, for being concerned. This is an area that, while it has grown significantly, it lacks some infrastructure. And this is an important part of infrastructure from the standpoint of not only a service station and convenience type store, but also the possibility of a financial institution on site. The roads themselves, if you go along Route 72, and I bring this out because we're very familiar from the council district standpoint that, as Sean mentioned, we have a beautiful school down the road, the Wilbur School. Adjacent to that is the Little League, and Councilman Smiley and Val Longhurst, a lot of us were involved in that. That was a donation of property, but they have the Bear Little League there. If you go right around the corner, you have a brand new motor vehicle facility. And so, you know, I think when you look at the area, the way it's built and what's being built there, this helps to support some much needed infrastructure. Within a mile of this location, you have a fire EMS station, fire rescue and EMS, right on Porter Road at Wrangell Hill Road. So during this process, we've attended. We've allowed the community to be involved and speak. We've shed no influence on this one way or the other. In fact, the other evening, I mentioned to the group that, you know, we try to keep an open mind, a transparent and open mind, all the way up to the vote, from the standpoint that we may, in fact, have someone that may choose to come to the council meeting and speak in favor or against. And so, you know, we want to take everything into consideration. But hats off, like I say, to our land use department. I think the developer, the applicant, has done a very good job in reaching out and being involved and doing what they've done up to this point. And like I say, I was very impressed with the community involvement and their persistence. I mean, there were folks that took time out of their busy schedule and attended every one of these meetings. We had a few naysayers, as you're going to have with any project. They were invited to attend every one of these meetings, and they chose whether they did or whether they didn't, but they were offered the opportunity. So I'll leave that kind of summarization. But this is the kind of community involvement, the kind of thing that I think that when development is being proposed, that from the very beginning, our land use department was involved, community was involved, developer was involved, and I think you end up with a much better product than what we see in some cases. Right. So,
Councilman Hollins is joining us. Any questions from council? Council President?
Mr. Bill, I'd like to be added as a co-sponsor.
Absolutely, Mr. President.
Anything else from council? Anything from the public?
Councilman Street,
Chairman. I'm sorry. Councilman?
Am I correct that what's proposed here is not too far from, did I hear you say that the new, fairly new, Wilbur School? And so there's already been increased traffic in that area as a result of building the school?
That is correct.
And it's also where in proximity to the new motor vehicle location?
Yeah, motor vehicle is actually on 13 south of Wrangell Hill Road. So as far as the any increase in traffic or anything attributed to the school and everything, those facilities are currently in place. And in addition, Councilman, there's already been improvements made along part of 72, part of Wrangell Hill Road, and also Route 13 to accommodate the increase from the standpoint of the motor V and the school and everything. And I think what DLDOT's plans are is to carry that out throughout 72 out to that major intersection area of 71 and 72. So there's been significant investment in trying to improve the roadway system, and that's not done yet, from my understanding.
So the likelihood is that there's going to be a continual increase in traffic on that road right in the area. Is that correct?
I would have to say that, you know, anytime you have educational facilities and other services provided by the state or other governments, that, you know, you tend to see some increase. I think the highways, the way these other facilities were planned, were adjacent to Delaware Route 1, not only 72, but Delaware Route 1, Route 13. And like I say, there's been improvements made. The one interesting thing that came up during this process was that a lot of the folks felt that they're traveling like back and forth to work or going out somewhere, that typically they have to go several miles away to stop at a convenience store for maybe a breakfast sandwich or something, fuel, and that actually creates, you know, not, I don't want to say a hardship, but, you know, a longer trip and a trip to other areas where these folks come by this area every day, every evening. So it actually, when they say convenience store and improvements to the area as far as infrastructure, I think it really will serve to be an improvement for them, the community and everything, and the motoring public.
Really, to answer part of that question that you have, and I did have part of that area, some of them, they're already talking with the commercial businesses about how far that road's going to get wide. In fact, we okayed on one of the properties of the sign, and now DLDOT had the right to look at it, and they never said anything, and now the sign's in the right of way for DLDOT. I mean, this is just recently. So they're already talking to landowners. Part of the problem we have is in, especially just a little north on the other side, the sewer didn't go over there. They're all on septics. The road is going through the septics, so part of it is they're looking to get the sewer put to those businesses that don't have sewer. So it's in the plans, just as you said, it's going to be increased traffic, but the road, they're looking at widening that road quite a bit. If you know where the billboard is, it's quite interesting.
And along those lines, if I could also add some additional information.
Just state your name.
Sean Tucker, for the record. And just to follow up on Councilman Street's question and concern about traffic or just generally how that's going to be addressed, it's spot on. There was a traffic impact study done. The DMV and other uses are included in that analysis, the traffic that they would generate, as well as unbuilt industrial that is located southwest of us. All that traffic was analyzed as part of the study, and all intersections that were studied per code will function at level of service D or better. So, and that includes some future growth factor as well, because Councilman Street's right, this is Councilman Bell certainly, that we do, these roads get busier and busier as this area develops. Those are factored in. There's a model for that. Mr. Bross can speak to that further. It's not perfect, but it is the model and the code that we use. Also, DLDOT assumes, based on studies, and this is pretty consistent across the country with DOTs, that convenience stores like a Wawa will pick up about 66% of their traffic from those that are passing by. they're not as big of a new trip generator as you might think. Yes, some people will go there from outside their normal driving pattern, but 66% is presumed, based on studying how people travel and where they go and where they don't go, these are pass-by trips. Not as big of a traffic producer as you might think at first blush.
I think it's only about 10% that leave their house to go to Wawa instead of being like on the road, like you just said. There's not much people leaving their house to go. If they're on the road, they'll stop, which is the normal pattern. I believe Mr. Cross can answer that too.
I think Councilman Street here.
No, my point was, and correct me if I'm wrong, at the school there, but when you brought Route 1 down, that changed traffic patterns from 13, and things kind of veered off into 7, and so the gas stations that were on 13 are not open 24 hours a day, and some of them are not open all the time, period.
Right.
But you've got this additional traffic generated by the school and build up in that area, and so they've got to be serviced somewhere.
Oh, understood. Okay, I see. I misunderstood you.
Maybe
Mr. Ross,
Councilman Powers.
Just what I'm thinking, what he said. If you take from that south, almost to Middletown, I think there's only 3 gas stations. There's a real deficiency.
Correct.
Of gas stations in southern New Castle County. That's why we're paying more for gas in Middletown than anywhere in the whole state. You can buy gas cheaper on Kent Island than you can in Middletown.
They got you.
What's
your name?
Jeff Bross. I'm a professional engineer registered in Delaware. I'm employed by Duffield Associates. As council noted, we did an extensive traffic impact study, worked very closely with DelDOT in doing that, and also the department. What really makes this project feasible and allows us to meet the level of service is the fact that DelDOT is widening Route 72 to a 5-lane road. It's currently 2 lanes with some turn lanes of localized intersections. And so that's going to provide significant additional capacity for not only the current traffic, but also traffic that's projected to occur not only from this project, but as council mentioned, there's 600 some thousand square feet of recorded but unbuilt industrial property across the street, and there's going to be further development as this corridor is widened and improved. So really that factor has made this project doable in terms of level of service. So, and as council also noted, our client is going to be making significant improvements to Route 71 to improve safety and capacity, additional turn lanes at Jester's Crossing, and also it's to other local road networks. So we think traffic will function much better actually after this project and the DelDOT project completed. So,
any questions to Mr. Bross? Look out.
I think Mr. Bell, Councilman Bell had a question.
I just, not a question. I wanted to mention that at one of the very first meetings, a gentleman was down at the Bear Library and brought up that this Wawa or things being built on that corner would generate crime, and that was one of the fears. And so, just so council's aware, is that I took a look at Wawas in general, and typically they're very attentive to not only 24-hour operation, but they have more than one employee on at all times. They do not allow for loitering. And I think that if we went on the premise that building a modern facility where infrastructure is needed, that don't build because there could be crime, that would be a disservice to the community. And I also think it'd be given into the thugs that do commit crimes, because the public has a right to have infrastructure. And we all know that when you look at the criminal element, whether in the city or out in the county, no one's exempt. And I brought that out in the meeting. You've got to look, you've got to be street smart when you get out of your car, going into a mall, going into a service station. You got to watch your surroundings, see something, say something. So, you know, I just want to bring that to council's attention, that we tried to present from the council standpoint that we're very familiar with what's going on throughout New Castle County, and there was no documentation that singled out 24-hour Wawa as being high crime districts or rates.
Anything else from council?
Councilman Collins. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe the CN designation here is a very appropriate use for this site. It's far less intrusive than what CR would bring. But I also want to join Councilman Bell in applauding the Land Use Department. I think this is a new bar when you look at the architectural rendering here, especially with the architect and the deed restrictions. But my question is the enforcement of the deed restrictions, is that solely with the community? Does the county in any way have any role in enforcing deed restrictions here?
In the current draft, no, this would be strict. Sorry, Chairman. Sean Tucker for the applicant. The current draft of the deed restrictions, and this is a form, Councilman Hollins, that I've used in some other projects I've brought in front of you, is strictly between the property owner and future property owners, to the extent it's ever sold, and the neighboring maintenance corporations that are part of the working group, and any individual in the neighborhood who wants their name on it specifically, if they so elect. We do not make the county a party, although we are not adverse to that. Historically, as you probably know, that's waxed and waned a little bit over the decades. the current version does not include the county as a party.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Council? Anything from the public? Yes, sir.
Peter Rudloff. I live in Rolling Meadows, which is immediately behind this project here. Our community's there. I'm the president of the Civic Association for Rolling Meadows. And I also participate on the work group that these guys have formed in reference to the Wawa. Our community has opposed anything going there for decades and decades and decades. Like across the board, we haven't wanted anything. We went to our initial work group meetings with these guys expecting to tell them the same thing. Say, we don't want a Wawa, we don't want anything, we want our trees, is what we originally went there expecting to say. And we looked at their plan that they had already come up with, and it wasn't perfect, but it was pretty daggone good right from Jump Street. Their approach with us was to say, tell us what we need to do to make your community better. They didn't come and say, you have to have this, you have to accept this. Their approach was, you know, what can we do? We want to be good neighbors. What can we do to make your community better? Every work group meeting, we challenged the lawyers, developers, everybody in the group of concerns that we had. We brought up concerns about crime, traffic, lighting, noise, cosmetics, every issue that we could. We had a really knowledgeable work group, and we challenged them really hard, and we took all of our information back to our community. Our community specifically sent out emails and newsletters to get input from all of our members in our community to find out what they were thinking. Overwhelmingly, our community and the other communities in the work group support this project. We really like the way that they're changing the property on here. We couldn't imagine a better overall scenario or fit for the property. On probably one hand, I could count the number of people that I've talked to that don't support the project, and I've yet to talk to somebody that had a legitimate reason. Most of them just say, well, I don't want a Wawa, and they don't even look at the plan or look at the actual statistics that we did, that we challenged them for when we were concerned about traffic. They were able to bring us statistics, and I don't believe that traffic is really going to be a concern for our community down there in Bear, Delaware. We're not a high, high traffic area like Wilmington is or Philadelphia is or something like that. I think it's going to make our community better. I think we need it more than we probably realize. We have the BP station there, that the fuel is extremely expensive. The gas station is not a very nice, clean gas station. The attendants aren't very nice. The convenience store is not well stocked. Wawa is going to bring more jobs in. Their people are always nice. I mean, everybody uses Wawa, right? So our community is very, very much in favor of this project and very impressed with the whole work group scenario and everything. My first time experiencing something like that went completely different than I expected it to be. I expected yelling and screaming and fighting tooth and nail, and everybody was willing to talk and listen. And there was concerns. I mean, there was really legitimate, hard concerns that had to get figured out. And the lawyers and developers, they worked really hard to bring a resolution that I think is really positive for the community. So I'm very, very happy to put my support behind it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else from the public? Okay, let's move on.
So if they close that BP, they got to start carrying night crawlers for me. BP carries the night crawlers. I need them when
I'm going to add that to the deed restriction,
Council. Slide it in there.
Now okay. You can fish at the port.
I'm glad, you know, our land use professionals are here in the room. I just want to bring a concern to the table that's affecting my district. It's a very serious matter. And, you know, this is sort of an initial beginning for me to really seriously address the problem that is occurring on the Philadelphia Pike. It's mostly on the northern part of the Philadelphia Pike. So I don't know if other council members are seeing this trend, but I can tell you that the northern part of the Philadelphia Pike has now been colonized by a very bad situation and bad element. I have these massage parlors, so-called, in the area. I'm receiving complaints from constituents because it's basically illicit sex trade operations going on under the cover of massage parlor. And I have, you know, a real problem with these things that they're basically been developing over the last 5 years. There has been some episodic enforcement by Delaware State Police. They have raided some of these places. And I don't know what's happening in the court side, but it seems like they reopened very quickly again. Most of these establishments are staffed by Asian women. What I'm to understand is they are traded out of the New York metro area. It's all this sexual slavery stuff. It's very nasty. It's going on. It's a trend. And I'm going to be going with the communities affected to the Attorney General on this matter because I really believe if we're going to stop this, we need a task force that's going to involve all the jurisdictional elements to really stop this. There are reports of closed-circuit TVs monitoring of the staff of these organizations in the New York metro area. I think there's a very serious problem. I don't know if anybody else on this table is seeing this in the communities, but I can tell you, I have a raft of these establishments now, and you know, it's really, I'm getting a lot of complaints from folks, and drags down the overall appeal of the area. It's a very negative trend, and I just want to, you know, enlist our land use folks in some kind of effort to see if there's any code we can apply to, you know, deny this kind of activity on these commercial sites. I don't know if there is, but I'm open to any suggestions in a positive way. And I just want to put that on the table. It's not a very pretty picture, but it's a reality. And you know, we're not equipped, or we're not addressing this with our state folks in the way that we need to.
I just like to say, excuse me, Mr. John, that there's another one in Councilman Weiner's district. The state police raided it, and it's next door to a friend of mine's place, establishment.
And just left.
Within a month, they were back in there, same people. They got a $500 fine, each one or the whole thing. And the same person owns it that owns the whole shopping center. Mm-hmm. But he leases it out, and you're right, they do have cameras in there, and they do go back, and they know who's coming in and what, because the doors are all locked. And I spoke to one of the land use managers about this before this came back, before the establishment started opening up again. And they're in a commercial area, and they're considered commercial. So we would have to do something in their title, so to speak. Councilman Street.
We're lawmakers. So if the current laws don't fit what needs to be done to stop them from being built or to shut them down, change the law. And in that regard, we sit down with the county attorney, the attorney general if necessary, the U.S. attorney,
and change the law or laws.
I agree with you. Councilman Cardenas?
One of the things I have a constituent who's been extensively researching a lot of this, and one of the things that one of the kind of gaps we have is that massage parlors are strictly defined under state law, and there's it's a professional trade, if you will, and there's extensive certification requirements to be a massage therapist, right? So they're not really, they're collecting the business license fee, but they're really not enforcing their standards as far as being a massage therapist. So, I mean, there's some gaps on that side. Maybe we can fill in and address some regulatory gaps in our land use code. I don't know. I'm certainly with the councilman on that. And, you know, I just want to have some further dialogue.
Councilwoman?
If they are licensed, there should be a state regulatory board, and you should be able to put in a complaint to that state regulatory board, and they all have inspectors and AGs assigned to those boards, and somebody should be able to do an inspection slash investigation, even if they have to go undercover. Those boards are equipped to do that.
Councilman Smiley.
Yeah. I don't want to make light of it. All right. I've had the issue in my district before it ever became my district, up by the manor on the second floor, okay? And I'm not thrilled with it. They've done some bust in there a couple of times. But bottom line is, I got a bigger problem with them out on the street soliciting men or they were with their wives trying to go to the store. And the police are doing everything they can to work on that. So again, I'm not supporting it, I'm not condoning it, but I'd much rather have it inside those four walls going on than out on the streets of the communities where I got families trying to live. So, do what you gotta do. I agree, we'll do whatever we can, but we got the issue out on the street that's just as bad. Part of the enforcement problem, and if you read the paper, you read where this happens quite a few times, what happens is you have the person that owns the property, that leases the building, to Molly's Massages. Molly's Massages leases space to masseuses. Masseuses, masseuse, whatever you want to call it, as independent contractors. So when there's the bust of the individual person, not the building, not the facility, not affecting their license, and then as long as they terminate their employment, they're not condoning it, they're not supporting it. So that's part of the law that you have to look at. But again, I understand what you're saying. It's been there for years. As I just said to Mr. Hollins, without getting into names, I had guys that when they worked jobs and got an hour lunch, they took their lunch up on that second floor. But the outside problem, Route 9, Route 13, is much greater and much more likely to create physical violence and safety hazards in our communities and on the roadways.
I agree and I disagree.
I'll take the first part.
Because street traffic's always been a problem, but they're going inside in our areas too. Some folks call them hotels, I call them hotels. And we've got a proliferation of violence and instability caused by the hotels. So inside don't work for me.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. You know, we discuss a lot of things in committee and in public safety, especially about our county police department. And this is just one more facet that has our police department overburdened for enforcement. And I think the targeted analytical policing has been tremendous and it's done good, but even our law enforcement officials will admit that in some cases it's driven things outside of an area to another area. They have all they can do to keep up with what's going on and try to assist other agencies. And we talk about it, but you are never going to get the type of enforcement and the type of policing we need in this county until we increase numbers on that county police department.
Second.
Councilman Holland?
Yeah, I believe that the Philadelphia Pike is actually patrolled by state police. And the other point I would like to make is it's 4:15. We're 15 minutes past the executive session, and I would like, hopefully we could start at 4:25 at the latest.
We're going to do it in about two seconds here. Okay, anything from the public on it?
How are you going to give me 5 minutes to smoke?
Right. It's for your health.
8 minutes.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Aye. Sister.